Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
This is Motti Radio. My name is Andrea and I'm here with Elizabeth today, and we're going to be talking about healthy eating and how it can affect your mind, body and soul. Does that sound good to you?
Yeah, it does. Right.
Okay, so shall we? I'm going to ask you a question first of all.
Okay.
So when you were having a conversation not too long ago, and you were talking about how you went vegan and how it changed, you know, the benefits that you got from it. So do you want to explain a little bit more about that and your journey?
So I, you know, if I kind of go back to how I became vegan, I think a lot of people ask, well, you know, how did you become vegan? What made you decide to try a vegan diet?
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it was because I watched this documentary on Netflix. The documentary is called What the Health? So it mainly, you know, spoke about, I mean, the main points were about how if we eat processed foods,
mm-hmm.
Especially processed foods, and by processed foods, it means a whole variety of foods. So when you walk into a supermarket, I think 70 to 75% of what's in the supermarket is processed.
Right.
So even things like bread, you know, things like the flour that we even buy, that's processed. So it also spoke about how, you know, things like ham, like processed meats, are considered as carcinogenic.
Mm-hmm.
So under the World Health Organization, they are caused. So anything that's carcinogenic, it causes cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So thinking about all those things and watching that particular documentary, I started thinking about my own diet and what I was eating.
Right.
And at that time, I hadn't even studied nutrition.
Okay.
So I said to myself, you know what, let me just try,
mm-hmm.
and see how I get on. So I did, you know, go in blindly, not knowing what sort of foods I should be eating.
I think that's the best way sometimes.
Yeah. But then the thing is, I think sometimes what I used to end up doing is because I didn't plan. And if you want to follow a vegan diet, you have to make sure that you plan.
Yes.
So and because I just went in it just thinking, let me just change the way I'm eating.
Uh-huh.
Stop eating meat completely. I didn't eat any dairy products. I didn't eat any fish.
Yeah.
So it was a little bit difficult for me because I didn't do any research beforehand.
Okay.
So it was just jumping in before doing research about what foods I was going to eat. So I mainly ate things like tofu and beans, and lentils. But at the same time, if I hadn't prepared, it meant that I would come home and I would just grab whatever was there that wasn't meat.
Mm-hmm.
So through that process, I learned that me planning my meals, me knowing what I'm shopping for, and knowing that when I get home, okay, this is what I'm eating this week, so I plan, made it so much easier. And also I did some research and found out that, you know, every meal that you're supposed to eat, if you want to follow a vegan diet, you're supposed to know where your protein is coming from, because that's one of the main sources that lacks in whatever meals you're making, because you have the rice there, you'll have the vegetables there,
but you want to have your
protein source. So
that's
because you're not eating meat, you're not eating fish, you have to think about where your protein source is coming from. So
I found for me, it was a lot of, I used to, when I first started eating vegan, it was, I used to prepare like loads of, like a large dish, and then I would separate it. And then I'd have that like maybe Monday, Wednesday and Friday, and then have 2 days where I kind of freestyle it. But yeah, when you say that it's important to kind of prep and plan, it is, because especially when you're transitioning, because you find yourself picking up things, eating things that you just shouldn't be, because they're there.
Yeah.
And quite often, I mean, when I decided to go vegan, I didn't plan it neither. I just did it. Just kind of just jumped into it. So
was for you, was there anything behind you starting a vegan diet? Or?
No, it wasn't even for health reasons or anything. It was just, I gave myself a challenge. If I'm being honest, I gave myself a challenge. I said, oh, let me see if I can do this, because I thought I was the original meat eater. I did not think that I could go without it. And I was like, oh, let me see if I can do it. And it was, I just tried. And once it got like maybe about 3 weeks in, or maybe a month in, or maybe it might be a bit longer than that, it might have been about 5 weeks, and my taste buds completely changed. And I thought, oh yeah, let me go back and try and eat some meat. And it just did not, it didn't have the taste. I couldn't, I just became very intolerant to it. So I was like, well, let me just carry on. So I just did. And it ended up being 5 years.
Wow.
You know, so it was something that, it was just a bit of a challenge for myself, really, something different to do. And once I like you, I'd studied a bit of nutrition before. I did a nutrition course and got my diploma. So I was like, so I had some understanding about how to balance your meals and how to make sure you have your protein, your carbohydrates and your, you know what I mean, your vegetables and stuff. And I also did my alpha and omegas. You remember we were talking about that? We also did the alpha and omegas and all of those things. So I understood that much, but I never understood how, you know, how to go ahead and plan all of that for meals and what it would mean for my family. But I mean, I had 2 children at the time, and my daughter was a baby and my son was, I don't know, 6 or 7 at the time when I did it. So he literally adjusted, and my daughter just never ate meat. She didn't eat meat for the first 6 years of her life. So, you know, I mean, well, when she could start eating, obviously. So, yeah, so she didn't have any kind of meat or egg or anything until she was 6, I think. She was 6, if I remember rightly. Okay. And she kept hounding me as well. She kept being like, Mom, can I have an egg? Can I have an egg? Can I have an egg? So I thought I'd let her try that. Because all of our friends at school obviously don't understand. And, so she had that, and then that was it. She didn't.
I think after I did study nutrition, I did, you know, I did realize that I think a lot of people go into the diet itself or thinking I'm going to be vegan, but they don't really understand what it is. So there's a difference, because I think some people call it a whole plant-based diet and some people call it vegan. So if you're a vegan, you can go ahead and eat things that are already processed. So you find nowadays if you walk into a supermarket, there's all these things that are replacements of meat. So you've got burgers, you've got the shawarma that you can use, you've got... So there's all sorts of different things that you can find in the shops, but those are processed. So you might call yourself a vegan, but you're actually eating a healthy diet. So if you want to eat healthy, you have to make sure that you're eating whole foods. So if you're making your own food, instead of going in the shop and buying things that are already made,
because
that's just a replacement for, you know, I know people really want to, I don't know, I think for some people it's just that taste of meat. So even if you're a vegan, which I don't understand.
Thank you. I was exactly the same, because my whole thing was, well, if you're vegan, why do you want to eat a meat substitute? Because that's like eating meat. So you might, to me, that's just a recipe for disaster, because you're going to go back to eating meat eventually, because you still got that whole taste, texture, you know, sensation that you're getting, that you would get from meat. And the whole point is, if you're vegan, you don't do that.
So that's very true. So I myself was vegan. You actually went a whole better than I did. So I was vegan for about 4 months. And then for me, it was my taste buds as well. They changed completely. I couldn't eat anything sweet. I couldn't drink juice. I couldn't, you know, drink even the cordial. If I was diluting it, I had to really put a lot of water. So my main drink was water. I drank plenty of water. So up to now, I would drink a juice here and there, but I don't drink fizzy drinks anymore. It's like I don't really think about meat, to be honest with you. So I wasn't a big meat eater to begin with. But I don't miss eating meat. The one thing that I went back to eating is fish. So I do eat fish once in a while. And then the main reason is that sometimes when I would go out, or if I wanted to eat something outside, it was very difficult to find, you know, something to eat. So you would end up, okay, what am I eating? And then you'd be like, you know what, let me just have the prawns, or let me just have the salmon, or let me... But that's all I eat. But I don't eat fish all the time.
Okay. When I used to eat out, it was chips and salad.
Oh.
Chips and salad was my go-to. If we were like going to a restaurant, it was chips and salad.
Yeah.
And that was it. Because most of the time, especially if like my family like to go to Nando's, there is no option. I mean, obviously now, but back then there wasn't. But obviously now there is. I think you can get some like Edam beans and stuff like that from Nando's. But back in the day, there wasn't anything like that. It was literally like chips and salad. That was my go-to when I was outside of the house.
I think I noticed is that when I was out, the meals, like what they called vegan meals, they were not very nice.
Mm.
So it's like you're eating, but you're thinking, what exactly is this I'm eating? Yeah. So a lot of places, I know they're trying to cater for vegan people, but they don't do it very well. Yeah.
Look at that meal that we had the other day when we were here, and we got the vegan.
Yeah.
And it was like that. It looked like they literally chopped up veggie fingers and just chucked it in in a box and said, "Oh, here you go, have that."
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I think sometimes they don't know how to make the meal, so it's more about, okay, you're a vegetarian or you're a vegan, so let's just put vegetables in there. So there's no thought about, okay, what's the
flavor?
What's the flavor? There isn't any thought put into. You know, I know there are some vegan places. There's a lot of places that you can go to that are vegan, but at the end of the day, if you're going out as a group, you don't want to, you know, force people to go and eat vegan food because that's what you want. So you'd rather you go somewhere else where people can find what they want, and then you end up choosing whatever option there is, which is very, very limited.
Definitely. Did you find that once you kind of went vegan, you looked at the people who were meat eaters a bit differently?
No, because my family still eat meat, so I still had to cook meat. I didn't want to, you know, kind of make them change their diet because of the way that I was eating. So for me, it was, you know, eat, even during the week, if you eat two vegan or vegetarian meals, that would be fine. And I found that my son would be eating lentil dal and like chickpea curry. So that I introduced him to different dishes, things which he can eat up to now. Which is really good, because what I didn't want was for me to kind of force my own way. Of course, I did it myself. I chose to eat that way.
As your choice.
So I didn't feel like it would be fair if I kind of like with my family, let's go, let's start eating vegan. Everybody, we're changing the way we're eating. So I thought I'll do this myself. If anyone wants to join me, then I'll cook. You know, I didn't cook a small portion. I'll cook a bigger portion so I can have it again, so I didn't have to cook all the time, because you know you have to be cooking two different meals because you're the one who's eating vegan and other people aren't eating vegan. So I cooked more so I could save, so that would save me time.
Just going back to something that you said before about not that you were still cooking meat. How did you find that? Was that easy or?
Because I didn't want to eat anything with meat.
So yeah,
it made it a little bit difficult because I couldn't even taste the salt. I couldn't even taste if the seasoning was right.
Yeah.
So what I used to do was I would either ask my son or my husband, say, "Okay, can you try a little bit and see if the salt is enough, or the seasoning is enough?" So even up to now, I don't really eat meat-based stuff. So I think in terms of even trying meat, I haven't tried eating meat since I stopped eating meat. Now it's about four years ago, I think.
It's cool.
So I haven't thought, oh, you know what, I don't have anything to eat, but there's chicken here, let me try it.
I found that when I was vegan, I couldn't even prepare meat. I couldn't even have it in the house. I couldn't, like, it was not happening. So it just wasn't a thing. But I was okay because I didn't have to cook separate meals. I could actually just cook.
How did you find it, like, say if you went for family gatherings and then there was mainly just meat?
Yeah, family gatherings, a lot of rice. A lot of rice and just probably because I was doing gluten-free as well, so it was a little bit more restrictive. But yeah, it was just a lot of rice and some dumplings.
Okay.
Plantain, those sorts of things. It was family gatherings.
Okay.
But and they would always it's so funny because like our older generation, they were always like, "Oh no, just eat that," and we would be like, it's meat, we can't eat it. But no, it's fine, just eat that, we can't just eat that. And they just didn't understand, like, that's meat, everything's got meat in it, because to them it's like, oh, it's healthy. But yeah, it was interesting. It was an interesting journey.
It is. And I think sometimes I think people, what they don't seem to understand is it's not that, you know, you have to stop eating meat completely. No one is saying stop eating meat completely, but it's just about thinking about what you're eating. Thinking about whether, you know, so for example, the chicken that you know, that's produced in this country, it's not really brought up or it's in healthy condition.
So yes.
By the time you put it on your plate, it's been injected with all sorts of things, and you don't know what's going in that chicken.
Mm.
And, you know, most of the times we don't think about where our food is coming from.
That's right.
And I think a lot of times it's about, you know, if you sit back and think, where is this, whatever it is I'm eating, where is it coming from?
Mm.
Then I think we would, in a way, change the way we're eating.
Mm.
So it's not just the chicken, it's
anything
as well. It's the, yeah.
I think people make the argument, they say that, oh, if the animals lived a happy life, then it's okay for it to be eaten, or, you know, because, you know, they say that if it's not been bred in a nice way, then its life's been miserable and then it just gets slaughtered. But even if the animals lived a happy life and it gets slaughtered to be eaten, that's still not good. Like, for me, that's how I see it anyway. That's just my opinion. But, like, it doesn't matter whether that animal's been running free in a field or it's been kept in a cage all its life, it's still the same process.
I think I'd like to kind of, it's, in some ways, I mean, I understand where you're coming from. Mm-hmm. But in some ways, I think that if you look at, you know, organic, what they call it, organic or free range.
Mm-hmm.
But then in terms of free range, I only found out when I watched another documentary that free range could mean a little bit of space.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you find people buy free range eggs thinking that this chicken is free running. No, as long as there's a little bit of space,
yeah,
which they deem is, you know, it's free enough range. Space,
yeah,
then it's considered as free range. Mm-hmm. So I think that's another thing that sometimes people don't actually realize.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I think if the chickens are, you know, organic, they're running around,
yeah,
if people want to eat that, then that's perfectly fine. But for me, I think it's the fact that this, it's, I think consumers, I don't know whether it's the increase in number of consumers or what is it, or is it driven by wanting to make money quickly? I'm not sure what it is where people can't grow or can't breed the chickens the way they should be. That way, then it's just, you know, pumping the stores with,
yeah,
you know, chicken that's
full of chemicals.
Yeah,
I think there's a definite, I mean, I know I've saw somewhere that there's a definite increase in the demand for meat, and so therefore that's what it, exactly what it is. The farmers can't breed the chickens soon enough to meet the demand. So they are doing all of the resorting to all of these things. I personally believe that there is money behind all of this, and the quicker you can churn out a product, the more money you make. Like, that's just common sense. So I think, you know, they do say things like, oh, you know, there's a increase in demand and all of that, but I do think that there's money behind it, and at the end of the day, you know, there's large corporations that benefit from all of that.
Of course, you know, and I think sometimes, you know, when you think about the cost of living like now, food is so expensive. So not everybody is going to be able to afford to buy organic meat, buy organic eggs, because if you see six eggs that are organic are like almost £4. So if you've got a family of five or more, how can you afford to buy, you know, organic food? But I think if there was a way for everybody to be able to afford organic food, for me, I would say, you know what,
yeah,
go organic. If you want to eat meat, if you want to eat chicken, beef, whatever it is you want to eat,
even being vegan, like, food is expensive. Like, healthy food is more expensive than unhealthy food. Like, I know I had to go Holland and Barrett to buy a lot of my things, and you can't find what you need in the supermarket, so you got to go places like that, and naturally that's overpriced. Do you see what I mean? So, you know, living where I used to live before, there were some other places that were, it was more accessible for me to get more natural products. But like, especially living here, it's not that easy, you know. It's not that easy. So yeah, I think when you think about cost of living, even if you did want to change your life and be vegan and all of that, you're still going to have to think about, well, can I afford it? Is that, unless you got a garden and you can grow your own, and you can, or you have a, you know, you live next to, door to a farm or something, and you've got to deal with the people over there, and you can get some discount food and stuff, you're going to have it, you're going to find it difficult. You're going to have a difficult time trying to afford to be vegan, unless you keep it simple and you just eat beans and greens and grains.
Yeah, I think that, you know what, I think the thing is with being vegan as well, you've got to think that they use quite a lot of, because I think a lot of times people talk about pesticides and they say, you know, you're saying that you don't eat meat, but you're consuming all these pesticides. So, you know, you, how different are you from someone that's eating meat? So again, that comes down to what are we eating? What are we putting on our plate? So it you know, it's money again. Can we afford to buy organic vegetables and fruits?
On that point, it brings me around to asking you this other question. So, in relation to the type of work that we do, which is mental health, and we know that a lot of our service users take medication, which, you know, affects their weight, makes them more hungry, you know, makes them eat more, makes them more lethargic, so they get less exercise and things like that. So talking about, you know, a lot of, some of them are on different types of budgets and things like that, but talking about that, how would you then, you know, encourage service users to, you know, change their diet in terms of, you know, in a way that they can afford?
In a way that they can afford. So I think the first thing really was what I've noticed, I think, with our service users is that, you know, the food that they buy, I think sometimes they don't actually realize that buying takeaway is more expensive than actually buying ingredients to make food that you can eat 2-3 days.
That's right.
Because if you buy a pizza or two pizzas, that's £30.
Yeah.
If you buy ingredients for that £30,
you're feeding yourself for a whole week and a bit.
Yeah. So I think the first thing to think about is what sort of foods do they like eating? Because at the end of the day, whatever it is they make in the restaurant, you can make it at home.
That's right.
So I think it's about educating our service users that you can go to the shops and buy ingredients and make your own food, and us supporting them in doing that. So I think once they know that, you know what, I can make this kind of chicken in my own house, I can make this, and I know what's going in that food, then that will be much easier. And then encouraging our service users to have more fruits and vegetables. So I think that's one thing that a lot of people, it doesn't have to be just our service users, with us as well. I think I find a lot of people think that, oh, vegetables are not that nice. Or, you know, fruits, most probably they pick and choose what fruits they eat. But not realizing that the more variety you eat, the better it is for your own health.
And doing simple things like fruit salads, you can prep those, you can stick them in the fridge, and you can put them in separate containers, and you're good to go. So when you're feeling a bit peckish, or if you want dessert after you've had a meal, you can just go and pick a fruit salad out of the fridge. You know, it makes it easy.
I think it's about, you know, sitting down, because at the end of the day, it's individual, isn't it? So it's about sitting down with each individual, looking at, okay, what is it that you're eating? And most of the time, it's the junk food. You find the crisps, the biscuits, the chocolates, so it's about cutting down, because I think it's very difficult for, you know, someone to just say, okay, fine, I'm not eating this completely. Some people can do it. I mean, I've done it. You've done it.
Yeah.
You kind of say, you know, I'm going to stop doing this. But it's not easy for everybody else to do.
I agree.
So it's just about cutting down gradually. So say, for example, if you drink 6 cans of Coke a day, you can cut down and say, you know what, for the next 3-4 days I'm going to have 5 cans, and then for the next 5 days I'm going to have 4 cans, and then gradually you can reduce it like that, and then who knows, most probably by the end of month, 2 months, you'll be maybe 1 week.
I agree. I feel like as well, making a plan, so if you have foods that you like and foods that you absolutely love, like in terms of the service user's perspective, if you have foods that you like, you absolutely love, practice making them at home and replacing, you know, those things that you love with healthier, more justified ingredients. Do you know what I mean? And then that way, you twofold, you learn to how to cook and you learn to develop your own kind of flavours and the things that, you know, oh, a little bit less of this or a little bit more of that. And you can kind of do it exactly how, to your own taste and how you like it. So I feel like, you know, service users, it's difficult for them to be able to maintain the motivation to do it. And I think that's partly down to the medication as well. But yeah, I think assisted in the right way.
Yeah, because I think one other thing that I've kind of noticed with all service users is most of them, because they take medication that will lead to weight gain, it always leads to diabetes, or high blood pressure, or you know, heart conditions. So it's about as well educating our service users on all these things that, you know, they can, you know, eat healthier so that, you know, they can, you know, the weight can go down. exercise so the weight can go down. It doesn't happen overnight, and you know, it might take time that you know what we need to, but it's a matter of us being consistent and working with our service users. One thing that I've kind of noticed as well is that sometimes it's difficult because it takes someone to say that I want to make a change.
Yes.
So there are some people that want to change, that they're much easier to work with. If someone is not willing to make a change or make a change to their diet, then it becomes really, really difficult.
That's a massive point. Just that person has to be ready. If they're not ready, it's just not worth it, because you're just going to be banging your head against a brick wall.
It's kind of like you're forcing someone to change the way they eat.
And some people, the more you try and do that, is the more they dig their heels in and they just refuse, you know. So you can't force anybody. They have to be ready. Thank you, Elizabeth. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you, as usual. And hopefully we can do this again soon.
Yeah, thank you so much, Andrea. I would love to come back and we can expand a little bit more. Maybe if we can kind of talk in particular, say, for example, sugars, and then we can talk about fats, and then we can talk about how people can reduce those in their diets.
Great. Love to do that. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.